And this is John 21, starting from verse 1 through to verse 14. This is entitled Jesus and the Miraculous Catch of Fish. Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing, which is an experience that I've had quite a few times. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." And when they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This is now the third time Jesus had appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. Now we've got a very important message from Agent Blue, who's going to be up in just a few minutes. So if you're a child, you probably want to, you know, come and look at the screen right now. I know a whole bunch of you were doing some cool stuff this morning on Zoom with the KL Kids, you know, video chat thing, and that's really, really cool. And maybe a whole bunch of you have been on Pastor Panda as well this morning, doing some of those kids activities. But Agent Blue has told me he's very interested to see who can tell us what the memory verse was. You don't need to write out the verse, just which Bible passage it was from the memory verse last week from Pastor Panda. So grab your parents, say, "Hey, I want to enter this competition," I guess it is. So ask them if you can type in what the memory verse was in their device, whether you're watching on a phone or on a tablet or on a computer or whatever it might be. Agent Blue will be watching if you're very keen to see who can get the memory verse from last week in the comments feed for this live stream. But anyway, I'm going to have to throw to my good friend Agent Blue. He's got a very important message for us this morning. Let's go, Agent Blue.
Morning, boys and girls. Secret Agent Blue. I'm back here in Australia. I lost my job with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, and the Roman government. You see, not finding the body that they said was stolen didn't go down real well. And to join in with the multitudes to say that he is risen, yeah. So I'm back here. But I'm on a mission from God. Got a new boss, you may have seen. She's not Agent C, she's just called C. You know, like James Bond, M. Good, you got it. Excellent. We are told that this Jesus, who is risen from the dead, is out having barbecues. So we're going to see if we can find him. Here we are. There's a barbecue right here. Let's have a look. Can anyone tell me why that wouldn't be Jesus' barbecue? If you don't know, kids, have a talk to your parents. Hopefully they'll be able to tell you. Where else will we find a barbecue? You may realise, boys and girls, I've got some new toys. Q has been giving me some new updates. So I've now got this selfie stick. It's a little bit wobbly. All right, here we go. Here's another barbecue. Not used. About to be used, but not. Okay, let's keep looking, boys and girls. Another barbecue. What have we got here, boys and girls? This is looking promising. Here we go. Look, do you see that, boys and girls? Fish scales. And we know that this Jesus likes to barbecue fish. So, what does this mean? It means Jesus is nearby. There's enough plates here for 11 other men. They say Jesus had 11 disciples, and they were fishermen. So Jesus has got to be nearby, boys and girls. Tell you what, I'm going to go hide in the bushes, see if I can catch this Jesus as he cooks a barbecue for his friends. So why don't you guys just wait? I'll get back to you later. Hang in there. Be kind to one another. Look out for one another. Support one another. That's three one another's. Wonder what's going on there. Wonder if that's coming from somewhere. God bless you, boys and girls. Take care. Hey, good morning, everyone. Great to have you with us again. Just before we go into that passage, John 21, I just want to share with you a few things. During the week, this week, Zoom meetings. Didn't know what Zoom meetings were a month ago. Now, they're all over the place. And so this week, we had a couple of big Zoom meetings. Our leadership team, obviously, on Tuesday night. Queensland Baptists have been logging us in every week, getting some stuff for us pastors on how to go through this time with our churches. So it's been very, very good. One of the groups I grabbed hold of through a Zoom meeting was the Movement Day. I remember telling you about the last 2 years, Movement Day, right across the world. It was actually started in New York with a guy called Mac Pierre. And Mac Pierre was actually a part of the Zoom meeting. 90 people in Australia and New Zealand zoomed in on that meeting. That afternoon, I got to pray with someone in Penrith, where there's been a big outbreak of the COVID, and someone over in Perth. So it was quite cool to pray in that sort of situation. But one of the interesting things that Mac Pierre, who has a worldwide ministry through the Movement Day, he is able to go and check out a whole bunch of stuff that's happening in different countries. So I just want to give you some information on things that are happening in other countries that we may not be aware of. And I certainly wasn't aware. And one of the countries I'm going to mention is our own country. So I was very encouraged to hear this little bit. But I want to start with India. India, we all hear about India. India has a prime minister who's a Hindu, and there's a lot of outlawing of other religions within India. But here's something that's really interesting. The prayer movement in India has become greatly organized, and it's happening again and again and again. Indonesia, the world's largest Muslim country that is on our doorstep just to the north, has the most and biggest prayer network in the world. Can you imagine that? Christians in Indonesia are going crazy with the prayer network right across that country. So even though it is currently the world's biggest Muslim country, the prayer network through the Movement Day is just going gangbusters. And the last one is Australia. The world is looking at Australia and seeing how really well we are doing in the area of connecting across the place in churches. We all were aware of what was happening in Toowoomba, but it continues to build right across our lovely country. Perth, the connections of networks in Perth are through the roof. Newcastle is absolutely phenomenal, just fantastic on what's happening in Newcastle. The western suburbs of Sydney, incredible, the networks. Organisations actually started around the networking of churches because the churches weren't able to continue to hold it. It's become networks. So here on the Sunshine Coast, we have the Caloundra City Pastors Network, and we're working hard to connect through that. You've heard me talk about that. But one of the interesting things that Mac Pierre talked about in Australia is the raising up of young leaders, emerging leaders, under 27. And Australia is apparently leading that in the world. So if you're under 27 today and you're watching, then can I encourage you to be prayerful about stepping up into the area of emerging leaders. It seems to be something that God is doing in Australia. And as an ex-youth pastor, I would love to see more and more young people under the age of 27, I don't know where that number comes from, but under the age of 27 to step up and step into what God has for you. And if you're a part of Kiwanis Life and you'd like to see more then please contact Brendan in the area of youth and young adults. He'd love to see more young people stepping up into the emerging leaders aspect of not just youth ministry or young adults, but ministry across our church and across our community. So God bless you, hey? Just some interesting stuff from around the world. I'm going to try and, as I go to these meetings, log in and find out some stuff. Just sort of a very quick one to the side before I open God's word. One of the things that came through QB was three things for us to connect on. One is hope. We have a hope in Jesus Christ, and it's absolutely fantastic to know what we have. And as a church, we have love, faith, and hope. And if you remember Oikos, we were going to be the voice of hope into that community. So we need to still grab hold of hope. The other one is daily bread. We all remember daily bread as a little devotional. You get a little book, but daily bread. It is more important now to get into our daily bread, to get into our devotionals, to connecting in with God. And we as a leadership team have talked a bit about that, and we'll have some news for you coming up on what we're going to do with those online devotionals yet again. And the other one is stay connected. And so Avril's already mentioned about staying connected. And we're trying to do a couple of things just to check. I mean, some of you may have got the email where I talked about no one gets left behind. And we want to make sure that no one gets left behind. And a lot of you are doing a fantastic job. And so thank you for that. But let's stay connected. Let's continue to encourage one another in all the different fantastic ways that we can these days. All right. Let's get into God's word. John chapter 21. And if you have your Bibles there, open up. We won't need to read through it all again. Brendan's done a great job of doing that. Plus, I've got another passage that we're going to go to, which is like a sister passage. Some of you may be thinking about it already and going, hey, hold on a sec, I've heard this story before. And if you are thinking that, then that's very good, because in my study this week, I thought, hold on, I've heard this story before. Jesus, fisherman, catching fish. And the fishermen couldn't, but Jesus could. So this scenario, as Brendan said, is the guys went fishing, and the list of the disciples are all there. They're there, a whole bunch of them. They went fishing. Now, I don't know about you, but when I go fishing, the idea of fishing is to catch fish. Even if they're little fish, I think. You get catching something, you get that adrenaline rush. Now, these guys aren't fishing with lines. They're fishing with nets. So they're going hardcore. They wanted to catch lots of fish. If I go fishing, if I catch three or four fish that I can take home, bargain. That is fantastic. Here on the sunny coast, if you go fishing, there's certain people not to go fishing with. Neil, don't go fishing with him, because he's a great fisherman. He catches fish all the time. And if you're not catching any, you'll just sit there feeling like the disciples were in the boat going, oh man, I'm not catching any. What's wrong with me? So other ones, Dave, he's a very good fisherman as well. Matt, he's pretty good too. So father-son thing going on there. Jamie used to be a very good fishing girl when she was younger. But she would get bored because she'd have caught seven fish and I'd be on one. So she'd sit down and read a book until I could catch up to her. So there's a certain people you go fishing with and other people you don't go fishing with. These guys didn't have a meal with them. They'd caught no fish. And the scary thing is, once upon a time, these guys were professional fishermen and they didn't catch any fish. Anyway, so they see this stranger on the beach and he calls out to them, friends, have you caught any fish? And they answer, no, we've caught nothing. And so he says, well, why don't you try the other side? Do you think they've tried that? If I go fishing and I catch nothing here, then I'm likely to walk half a K up the beach, half a K up the beach, looking at different holes, finding out where the fish are hiding. I go on a whole hunting expedition when I go fishing. I just sit in the one spot. If I'm sitting in the one spot and they're not there, then that's just insane. I'm sure these guys tried a whole bunch of different ways to catch fish. They would have even tried this side of the boat, that side of the boat, deep water, shallow water, on the clock at 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, 10:30, tried everything. Nothing. But Jesus, let's see his credentials. Carpenter. Rabbi. I suppose the risen Lord has some effect. But he says to the fishermen, try this. And the fishermen try it. And lo and behold, they catch 153 big fish. 153. Why 153, you might ask? So if you've got a little bit of a conspiracy theory person, then you might be thinking, what does 153 mean? What does that mean? And there is enough people out there in the commentary world that have done studies on the 153. Now, in the 153, one guy said there was 153 species of fish in the whole world. And so this meant that the people were able to catch all the people. So when they become fishers of men, they could catch all the nations. I was thinking about that. I'm thinking, hold on a sec. I'm sure I've caught 153 different types of species. So I just went, hey, Google, how many species of fish are there in the world? And Google came back and said, 34,000. 34,000, not 153. So maybe there's 153 type of species just in the Galilee Sea. I don't know. But what does that mean, 153? I don't really know. Maybe you'd like to do a bit of a study this week and find out what does the 153 mean. What it means to me is they caught a lot of fish. Could you imagine Cynthia's look on her face when I come home with 153 big fish? My goodness, that would be amazing. Anyway, so John recognizes this is Jesus. He recognizes this is Jesus and tells Peter. And Peter, doing what Peter does, dives into the water. He just goes for it. He forgets about the hard work that the rest of the disciples are having to pull in the fish. He just goes for it. He gets out there and he heads up. And when he gets up there, what's Jesus got ready for him? Has Jesus got a Bible study ready for him? Has Jesus got a sermon for them when he gets there? No. Jesus has a barbecue ready for them. He's got a time and a place for the disciples to sit and to be still. The other disciples are coming in and I wondered, you know, as they're coming in, they're going, wow, these are the fish, and John's saying it's Jesus. I wonder how many of them thought, wow, when the stranger on the beach said, try this, we all said, who's this guy? Why is he telling us what to do? I don't know about you, but I sometimes have arguments with God. When God tells me something, I sometimes speak back. I sometimes say, you sure? You really want me to do that? Is this the way we're really going to do things? I think in the last 6 weeks, I might have said it once or twice. You know, I might have cried out from the psalmist, how long, Lord? How long do I have to do it this way? Can't we go back to the other way where I get to hug people and see people and connect? I had a little bit of it yesterday where there was five of us on patrol, my last patrol for the season. No one on the beach. Everyone just coming and going. Everyone very good at not congregating. So I got to talk to these guys for a bit, but it was just a little bit of a fix. I felt good and energized. But how long? How many of us argue with God? It's not a win, is it? If you have argued with God and you've won, please let me know. I'm sure there's Moses has done it. He got a win. I think David did. Abraham may have. But there's not many that have had a discussion with God and come out the other side. I haven't yet. And God's way always seems to be the way. And whenever I think of God's way, I always think of that sermon Brendan did about God's way or our way. And it was impacting to me. And we've got to do things God's way. Whether God tells us to fish on this side of the boat, or God says, go and work at the hospital, or God says, this is the way we're going to do ministry at the moment. Get used to it, Dawny. Rise up to the challenge. Don't run from it. What way is God speaking to you at the moment? And what way are you saying, nah, I don't want to do it that way. I'm going to do it my way. God's way is always going to win out. Be obedient. We have a time here where Jesus has got the breakfast ready. He's got the fish. And he's got the bread. That's pretty skillful, I think, cooking a bit of bread on the barbecue. That's well done. Well done indeed. The Bible tells us that this is the third time that Jesus has ministered to the disciples. And yet they still didn't recognize him. So there's another little bit of study this week. I know John Vuko has already raised that question. How did they not recognize him? So why don't you just delve into that a little bit and throw some stuff up during the week. I've got a little bit of a reflection from this bit of the passage because there's a section here where it actually talks very clearly about us stopping and resting with Jesus in the barbecue. Let's see this. In today's world, we often create so much unnecessary mess and stress in our own regular scheduled lives. I love a regular and scheduled life. I'm missing Monday morning is my only music morning. I'm missing Tuesday is coffee and chat. I'm missing Friday afternoon is RI. I have a scheduled life and it's full and it's busy. And yet we plan, we implement, and we put things in place and we work really hard. And sometimes because of that, we get stressed, frustrated, deflated, annoyed, and in trouble when nothing comes from it. We get desperate, we get defeated, and we get empty. And then at the end of the week, we turn to Jesus. Isn't it a shame that we turn to Jesus often as a last resort? Because we don't recognize who he is. They didn't recognize who he was. Sometimes really, all he's asking is for us to come away and to join him, to take part in what he has prepared and created. Then the rest will flow. You see, this time comes. They sit, they eat, they rest, and they know they're in the Lord's presence. We know there's another passage coming, and I'm not going into that passage today. It's well known. You can read on and find out what it's about, but we're not going there. We're going to stop here. And it says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations, and I will be exalted on earth." Psalm 46, verse 10. So let's have the challenge. Here's the challenge. Let's declutter our minds of plans, schedules, and to-do lists. Instead, let's look out into the waves. Wiggle our toes in the sand if you get to go to the sand. Absorb the sights, the smells, and the sounds, and enjoy the moment that is, not what it means, not what lies ahead, not how we arrived here, but just what is. This is the time for us to meet with God. This is the time we can pray. This is the time we can get into his word and get into that daily bread. After all, what is best is our relationship with God. And sometimes that relationship is unnecessary with words. We can just be still and know that he is our Lord. That other passage I wanted us to look into as I come to a conclusion is Luke chapter 5. So if you have Luke chapter 5 there. So I'm going to read a bit of this passage because it has a beautiful parallel. One day as Jesus was standing on the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding all around him. So this is the occasion where he's teaching and the disciples have been fishing and they've brought the boats up and Jesus is getting a bit crowded. So he ends up going to the water's edge and he says to Simon Peter, "Let me jump in and push off a bit." And he finishes teaching the Bible and then he turns to them and says in verse 4, "Simon Peter, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And here's Simon again, diving in. "But Master, we've worked hard all night and we haven't caught anything." Hear that? They'd worked hard all night and again, hadn't caught anything. "But because you say, let down your nets, we will." And so they went out and they caught a large number of fish, so much so that the nets began to break. Interesting thing, if you noticed in John 21:1, the nets weren't breaking. It even is mentioned, the nets didn't break. So obviously when they caught big lots of fish, sometimes the nets broke. Here it is, the nets are about to break, so they call out for help and the others come and help them. And Simon Peter realizes he's in the presence of the Lord and he bows himself. And Jesus says at the end here, "Don't be afraid, for now you will no longer fish for fish, but I will make you a fisher of men, a fisher of people." That's a beautiful thing, isn't it, what God has for us. At the beginning of today, we had that little drama piece that was put on, and it talked about things are different, but the call of God on our life is still the same. We still have the same talents. We still have the same time. We still have the same abilities. So we need to take up the challenge. God called the disciples to be fishers of men. We are called to be fishers of men. Sometimes when we try it in our ways, with our skills, with our abilities, we catch nothing. This is a time where God is saying, "Be still, know me, allow me to work through you, and I'll help you to build the church." Because Jesus said he would build the church. We can be a part of his team to build the church. YouVersion has gone through the roof in the last 6 weeks. 1.8 million prayers have been prayed through that little app. The world is awakening to the work of Jesus Christ. Many of you have seen the memes that keep coming through. There's one meme that says, has a little devil saying, ha-ha, I've closed the church. And then God says, ha-ha, I've opened one in every house. And there's the point. We can go from door to door, ministering in Jesus' name to the neighbours in our community, checking on them, loving them, caring for them. This year, God set us up to love him and to love our neighbour. We are in a point where we can love him, and we can love him more than ever, and we can love our neighbour. God bless you. Let's pray. Father God, I want to thank you for this opportunity of opening your word. Two amazing passages, one from the book of John, one from the book of Luke. Both times the fishermen who were professional fishermen, your disciples, caught nothing. They caught nothing. They worked hard. I'm sure they worked hard. When I go fishing, I work hard. I'm sometimes exhausted by not catching fish. But Lord, you had a plan. And you spoke it into being, and it happened. So Lord, we want to log into you. Not just log into Facebook, but we want to log into you. We want to connect with you and say, Lord, may your will be done in and through our lives today. Here I am, your servant. Here I am, called to be your disciple, connecting with you, empowered by your Holy Spirit to go about things. In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. I was going to read to you that the little poem called Footprints, but I've put it up on the Facebook page. You can have a read of that, and it might speak to you where it's at. It's very powerful. But I want to close now with a benediction. Let's look at this benediction. And I'll pray it, but I'll speak it, and I'll talk a little bit about it because I think it's something that's really important. It's from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. And it says, now to him who is able. Is our God able? I believe he is. Absolutely, 100%. To do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. All that we ask and imagine. I don't know about you, but I can ask some pretty big prayers. I don't know about you, but I can imagine God doing some amazing things. And God is saying, bring it on, Donnie. Bring it on. I can do more than you can imagine. I can do more than you can ask, for I am able. And it's able because it's according to the power that is at work within us. To him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Hear that? Through all generations. If you're under 27, I want to challenge you. Be a part of the emerging culture of what Jesus is doing in our great nation. Don't miss the boat. Now's a great opportunity to rise up as a leader within our communities, a leader for Jesus Christ, called to be a disciple, called to minister for all generations. I'm so proud of the older generation of our church connecting with each other. Yes, Brendan and I have put you on silent because you're just a phenomenal at connecting with each other. But keep it up. Keep it up. The rest of us, keep connecting, keep supporting, and keep praying. God bless you one and all. Thank you for joining with us today.